All right, I think we start. So welcome everybody to this talk on building Azure websites with Visual Studio Monaco. My name is Benjamin Pazero, and I'm actually a member of the Microsoft Monaco team in the same group that Eric is, who was doing the keynote this morning. And I will do a lot of demos in this talk, so I will start with one right away. Instead of showing you the boring agenda here, I will just jump over to Visual Studio Online Monaco and show you what you can do with Markdown editing. So I'm running Monaco right here in IE. This is like the empty workbench, nothing inside. You can see it runs from azurewebsites.net. And let me start creating a file here, which we will use as our agenda today. See how that goes. I guess the website is sleeping a little bit. Come on. Not a good start. Refresh. I hope my internet connection is not losing because I need it today for the demo. Okay, here we go. File is there. I will just paste the code in here. So it's a basic editing experience. We've seen it briefly this morning. We have some nice syntax coloring. We have a preview here of the. Whoa. Stuff is really not working today. I don't know why. Try it again. Otherwise, okay. Maybe I always have to refresh every time I want to show something. Anyway, what can I do here? So I can make this a little bit more interesting. I can actually add some files here to the agenda. For instance, let me find some images. Okay, I can upload them. This should work without refresh, hopefully. Otherwise, I might need to switch to another network here. Now that is slow. Let me check network here. So I am connected. I can try to connect through wireless if that makes a difference. Or I can try to use another browser if he doesn't like this. No problem. Okay, one thing I can do is definitely make this a little bit faster because I'm running on battery here, I think. Let's see. Yeah, that is one problem. The other is we try another browser. This is Monaco. Okay, try the same thing again. It should really work. Tech days, agenda. All right, I will skip this part. I hope it doesn't really affect the demos that I'm doing because I need internet. Let's see if the rest works. Okay, we will skip this part. Oh, here we go. Okay. Seems it takes a while. Anyway, I will skip this. We lost already some time. I will show the agenda, and then I hope the other demos will work well. Jesus Christ. I don't know what's going on here. Huh. Okay. I will come back to this later. Here we still have it. So I will try to fix the network issues later if I have to. So I will give a brief overview of Monaco. I will do a lot of demos. I hope they work. Otherwise, I have to run them locally, which I can also do. So I'm building a Node.js HTML web application using Monaco. Then I will talk a little bit about the Monaco architecture, some slides. Then what does it really mean to use Monaco to work in production? So there are some interesting aspects. So if you have a production website, you don't really want to live edit your website using Monaco. A little bit how to develop ASP.NET web applications. And then some slides on resource management and tips and tricks and Q&A. So let's see. What else? I'll go back to the slide just for a moment. Slides I can show. They should always work. So we started Monaco in November last year. And one of the first messages we got was really nice and captures the essence of what we think Monaco is and where it can really help. So we had a user that was apparently having a bug that he had to fix. And it seems that he didn't have access to his Visual Studio environment or whatever he used as editing. And he was able to use Monaco, connect to his Azure website, and fix this problem. And it's really like our motivation to enable developers to use the browser to work on the bugs and then deliver the fix and really have a short turnaround for bug fixing without having to really have the full development environment on your computer. Some of the features. So it's Visual Studio Online, but that doesn't really mean that we try to copy Visual Studio Desktop into the web. So when you look at the UI, you will see we didn't try to really duplicate all of the desktop features into the browser, but instead have a very lightweight, friction-free editing experience, as you can see on the screenshot, some Explorer, and then side-by-side editing. We don't add any tabs there. And we really try to support it on every browser and every OS. So this runs on IE, it runs on Chrome, IE even down to IE9, although that editing experience is not so pleasant. On Mac we run, and we do cross-browser testing frequently. So we also support iPad and Surface. We have some limited touch support, but we definitely also hear from users that use touch devices to connect to workspaces. It's optimized for Azure in a way that whenever you create a website in Azure, you will have Monaco in there by default. So you can actually enable Monaco for every website, connect to it, live edit, push, and have the changes live. The editing experience is very rich. So we've seen it in the this morning in the keynote. The editor is very powerful. It's being used in many places. For instance, in Playgrounds, OneDrive, and it really doesn't miss any editing feature that you would expect. So you almost don't even feel that you're in a browser. But on top of that, we also built a workbench around it. So it's not just the editor. It's also navigation between files, a file explorer here that shows you the files, search, and Git is integrated. And we will see that later throughout the demos. We focus on HTML5 technologies in terms of the frameworks and languages we support, because we actually use Monaco to build Monaco. So it was a very good experience to actually use Monaco as a workbench and as an IDE to build the product, because this dogfooding, as we call it, has the benefit that you can actually validate your experience right away. That's why HTML5 and JavaScript are really the main supported languages, including TypeScript. I mean, we use TypeScript and love it. And on top of that, we have support for PHP, ASP.NET, and other languages. And if we look at this overview, we have three categories of language support. And we say, well, in the category basic, there is syntax coloring, bracket matching, textual completion, but we don't really have a strong language service behind these languages. So in these categories fall C#, Razor, Markdown. And then the next level is already better experience on top of that error checking as you type, IntelliSense, go to definition. So there we really use a language service that can understand the language better and give you more tooling. And there we come into the web languages, JavaScript, CSS, LESS, SESS, PHP. They are very powerful. And then the best support in terms of languages we have is in TypeScript, because this is also the language we know by heart. We use it to implement Monaco, both on the server and on the client. And there we can do even refactorings. So we have the full TypeScript language service. The TypeScript language service is written in TypeScript, so it can run in Monaco in the browser. And we fully understand the TypeScript project that you're building there. Okay, let's try demos again. I'm going back to my browser, and let's see how we can actually continue from here. Okay, you're not seeing it. I'll just share my screen again. Oh. There's my mouse. It's really hard today. Project duplicate. Okay, that should work. So I'm in the Azure portal here, and this is really your starting point for Monaco. So we are part of the Azure websites, and the first thing I'm going to do is I will actually create a new Azure website in North Europe, and we'll show you how to enable Monaco as part of this website. So Tech Days Dev is running. This is now an empty website. And there are some steps needed to enable Monaco. We can certainly do better there. This is like more or less the current portal. There's a new portal, as you have seen on the Build conference. We are not yet in the new portal. So until then, this is like the preferred way to enable Monaco. You will see this switch here to edit in Visual Studio Online. And once you enable this guy, we'll actually make a change to the configuration of the website. And then magic happens on the dashboard page. You have to wait a little bit to actually see edit in Visual Studio Online. When you click this link, you will notice the URL is not your endpoint, your public endpoint for the website. It's actually having a .scm and a /dev at the end. So that is the Monaco endpoint. And Monaco is protected by your deployment credentials. So it's not possible for someone from the outside to just go to your Monaco instance, see, grab your source code. It's actually protected with the same way that, for instance, the Git access is also protected on the website. And you have HTTPS, so things are pretty good here. I will just make this a little bit larger so that you can see it from everywhere. So the basic UI of Monaco is I think it's self-explanatory. We have like this sidebar with different viewlets. We have the editor, which obviously takes the largest area. Full text search, a Git viewlet, which I will show later, where you can do interesting things with Git. A console that will be very useful when I do some Node.js development. And otherwise, let's just run this website. So we have a run button, which will just take us now to the public endpoint here. And this is really the first site the default content you get if you don't have anything. So in here, this is the hosting start HTML that they open. It's not so interesting. What you will notice is that we open a second view here, the output view. When you use applications that produce output, you need to capture it somewhere. So you will see output showing up here on the right-hand side. Currently, it's not so interesting because we are not really having output. But when we do some node development, it gets more interesting. So let's try again to create something here. Okay, this seemed to work. It was just too fast. We just call this index.html. And then we are in the editor, and The editor has snippets, IntelliSense, refactorings, so I will demo all of this a little bit. When I start typing and I produce this HTML snippet, I have a nice editing experience. I can tab around these edit locations, similar to, I think, how it works in Visual Studio Desktop. And I can start creating my HTML page here. Let's leave it like this. I have basic HTML support, so this is like a not the richest experience, but at least you have tag, auto-completion, and these kind of things. And we can continue to write here. So if I run this again, we are actually live editing the website. So any change I do will actually show up directly on the side. So I can just move this output a little bit to the side. Let's make this more interesting and start to add a CSS. CSS is in the middle category of languages. We would say it's a good experience, not the best experience. What this really means is we can provide you with a good IntelliSense environment here. We also have some basic validations. So for instance, we have a kind of a parser in the backend that knows some rules. You can define these rules. In this case, don't use empty rule sets. Well, that's perfectly fine. I can just start to use background color. And for instance, we use some color. You will see nice inline decoration of the color here. And yeah, if I refresh, things are just turning up here. That's nice. Let's try to add some JavaScript. Fingers crossed that it works this time. Otherwise, I will just create the file. Okay, looks a lot better now. I'm adding some JavaScript. In this case, it's jQuery, very common and well-known. So all I have to do here is just to take this reference up into our file. JavaScript is also on the very good language experiences. Actually, under the hood, we leverage the TypeScript language service for JavaScript. Although this is not TypeScript, it's actually giving us a lot of tooling power here. And the first thing you will see is it complains that it cannot find the symbol dollar. That basically means unknown globals in JavaScript, which come in from the environment. We really need to tell our language service that this is OK to use. And for now, we will just say, hey, we know there is a dollar variable on the environment. It's safe to use it. And later in the next demo, I will show how you can actually integrate some nice IntelliSense and tooling for jQuery. Let's continue this example. We have the entire DOM API at our fingertips here. So I can just continue typing. We have parameter hints popping up here. And I can just use message. We have semantic highlighting. So we understand that there is a write access to message. That's why it's a little bit orange on top here. And there's a read access in yellow below. And I can do interesting things now. So with this simple example, I can do find all references. Doesn't make so much sense here, but at least to demo it, we have this inline experience where you can navigate through references and we understand, hey, there are two references. More interesting, rename symbol gets into this multi-cursor mode again. And it knows, well, there's a second use of this message, so we can just use it. And now if I run this, not so surprisingly, we just get hello from Monaco. All right, that's just very, very basic stuff, not so interesting. I would like to fast forward to something real, Node.js. We use Node.js for our own Monaco server, so it's actually we have a very good relationship to this project. It's a very lightweight, fast way to create a server. And the first thing you will really notice with Node is you need a package manager. And typically, Node comes with NPM. That's the default Node Package Manager to install modules. And for this, you need a console. For everything that you don't have a UI in Monaco, we just provide you always the fallback, use the console for everything you need. And if I type help here, you see the built-in commands are quite rich. Git is a very good candidate because you can do so much things with Git that you don't really want to have a UI for everything. Node is in there, NPM. And then there is a set of native Windows commands because we just fall back to whatever you can do on a Windows shell. And this is actually not the real truth. So there is a native help command that will show you all commands. And let's just try to get Monaco to show us these commands. So I just touch a file here, which gets created. So the Explorer updates live whenever I do changes. Let's just open it. And the native Windows command is actually help. We just override it with our own, but we can still execute it through batch files. We can do some fun exercise here and pipe the output from the run from the help into the real help.txt. And since we know this is a batch file, we can actually execute it from here. And magic happens. These are all the commands that you would actually be able to execute. To be fair, you cannot run them all because you're on Azure, so some of them are not allowed. But it's just an example. Like you can upload commands and just execute them. If they run, it's another question. If they have UI, they will not run. But otherwise, it's fine. Okay, let's get into a state where I'm my workspace is empty. So I just deleted all of the contents, and let's start with some real Node.js development. And I hope that NPM is online, because they are not always online. OK, they are. So NPM runs. I'm installing Express here. Express is, I would say, the standard Node.js web framework. We use it. It gives you very powerful ways of expressing your routes and everything. But you need to install it. So I just ran NPM install. You see the progress here. And what it gives me is a nice command, and you will see when I type help, there's a new command showing up here, express. And what this command does is it actually has a scaffolding template that will just set up my workspace with all the files I need for express. So one command, and express is there. I don't have to type anything. Final thing is there are new dependencies that were now added, and I can actually navigate away from the console. I just run it in the background. This is the package JSON. That's the description of the dependencies that my project has. And Jade is actually one which was added now. So that's why I really have to run npm install again. And he will tell me that Jade was installed. Okay, let's just run this project without looking at the code to see what's happening. And we see it's a very simple Express, Welcome to Express website. And let's take a look at the output this time. So we have some more interesting output to show now. Actually, we have some real output. So whenever I open the site, there seems to be some locking happening here. So I just refresh this site a few times, and the output starts to get some requests. But what's also interesting is there's a message that a web.config got created. And I would like to explain this a little bit, because understanding how Azure runs your Node.js site is actually very useful and good to know. I will just try to get this all into one page here. See, the layout is quite flexible. This is the web config, and it got generated by Monaco. So it's actually the runtime file for Azure websites when they run Node. So what's happening behind the scenes is there is IIS Node running your Node application. And for this to work, it needs to have a web config. And there is some configuration which we can generate. Like, we know there is an app.js file. So this is like your entry file to your project. There are some rules defined here. We don't really need to care about it. Node Inspector we will see later. And then there is a section which is interesting. It's IIS node properties. And by default, there's a watched file attribute. And what this does is we have a pattern of files. And whenever this one of these files changes, we automatically restart the server, or actually IIS node does. And where this is helpful is you do a quick edit on your node application, and you don't really want to restart your server manually all the time. So you, what you rather want to have is live F5, and the server is restarted right away. So this is a file that you can actually contribute to. You can configure more properties. There's documentation about this file. You can leave it as it is by default, and it will actually work, as we see. But it's useful to know what's going on. So let's take a look at the app.js that was generated for us by the express command. And we see some typical node code. So this is JavaScript. And again, here's our friend, the error that we had before. We are using globals that are actually not defined. And our language service will complain about it because we didn't declare any globals here. And this time, I would like to really add some powerful IntelliSense to this. So like some what would you really do to get rid of these errors? I said we use TypeScript for JavaScript. And what this means is it enables us to use TypeScript definition files to feed the language service with information about the libraries you're using. And luckily, there is a repository of 350 or 400 TypeScript definition files that are created by the community, maintained by the community, updated, and even better, there is a command that you can use to install these definition files into your workspace. And this command is called TSD. So let's just bring this into our project. And I hope it runs. OK, seems to work. This command will basically just go to the repository, get this definition file based on your query, and then put it into your workspace so that you don't have to manually copy it. I should add that the same exists for Nugget. So actually, if you use Visual Studio with TypeScript, similar way to do it to get these definition files in. So this time I was actually running with minus G. And what this really means is I'm installing this command globally. So the command will not live in your workspace because my workspace maybe is shared with other people. And I just wanted to have this command locally for me. So with minus G, it's actually copied into a location that you can use it in your website, but it's not in your workspace. So TSD shows up as an executable command. And when I run it, I see lots of output here, but what's really interesting is somewhere on top it tells me the way how to install a TypeScript definition, and we just copy this line here and change it to node because we are using node and we would like to get the definition file of node into our workspace. Okay, it created a typings folder, and I'm not shy to go into this file and look at it. So someone really took the time to describe the structure of a library. I mean, you must think about it. It's not the developers that do this. It's actually contributors that are willing to explain the structure of a framework. And this is very powerful and rich. Lots of functions, lot of modules. And in order to get this definition file into our app.js, we use /// references. So with some help of the editor here, I can have a snippet for /// reference, and I have a way to actually search my my workspace for definition files, and I can bring in node.d.ts. And you will notice that the errors are away, so the language service got some food here to understand what framework you're using, and the errors are going away. Now when I start to actually use Node, for instance, as I did here, I get IntelliSense for everything. I get parameter hints, everything you actually want. It's not having any comments, so I would like to add the same for Express, because there's Express is an example where the definition files actually well documented and much nicer for my project. So Express is there. We just duplicate this line, which the editor allows to do easily. Okay, I'm feeling lucky. I just do, yeah, I know. This is good. Okay, Express. So I just do multi-edit here. I'm bringing in Express D.TS, and I hope that now I will get a little bit more language service support here. So this is actually an Express method, and the people were happy enough to add comments, so I get actually nice documentation for the stuff I'm using. That's fair and easy to get IntelliSense to work. I would like to show a little bit more the power we have when it comes to web languages by looking into LESS. And LESS is really, in a way, what TypeScript is to JavaScript. It's a superset of CSS with additional support for variables, functions, whatever. Very powerful. And I will just start with my CSS file, and I duplicate it using Control-C, Control-V. I just use the key bindings here to quickly have the file duplicated. And I call it style.less. In order to compile from LESS to CSS, there's still something missing. And it's a command that I can get through npm. So we just go and bring npm into our workspace. And while this is running, I can actually go back to my file. You see a little indicator here. There's a time clock here that will tell me when it's done. And we can just start typing some real LESS code here. So for instance, my color is blue. It's not so interesting if we don't use it. So let's just use it here. Background color is, again, we have IntelliSense. And here we have some semantic understanding of LESS and variables. So my color is actually, again, being written to in the first line and being used in the line 6. I can do, again, some nice find all references, or for instance, rename symbol in the same way as before. So parity in terms of the language service here. Meanwhile, seems like this command is installed. It shows up as less C, less compiler. And you can use it from the console manually to compile less to CSS. What's nice about the console is you have IntelliSense and completion for files and folders, so I don't need a lot of typing here. Can say the CSS should go to public style sheets style dot whoops CSS. And this converted the LESS file into a CSS file. If we look into our Express example, I would expect a blue background color now. All right. This is the manual way of doing LESS. A little bit more interesting is actually having an automated way. And what the community found out is, or supports most, is actually a build system called Grunt. It's a JavaScript-based MS build. So you write your tests in JavaScript, and you can just run it from your workspace. So for this, again, I have to install some modules, like the Grunt CLI, that is actually the command line interface. Then there is lots of contributions. So it's a pluggable build system. You can actually enhance it through these contrib packages. This is the one which will actually allow me to use LESS as part of Grunt. And see when it finishes. All right. We have one watch task missing. This is the one that will allow me to do some tasks that does file watching. And the goal is really to have some automated transpiling going on without me actually always having to run this stupid command. I will bring in a grunt file that so that I don't have to run create it. So gruntfile.js, I will just move it here to the top level. This is just the way it is defined. There are tasks. In this case, it's a less and a watch task. So I want to watch for changes in style sheets less, and then I want to run the compiler here. So let's just start this in a console. Grunt will just pick up the default task from the grunt file and just wait for something to happen. And by the way, now the console is more or less busy doing something, so I cannot use it. So there's always a way to open a second console. So you can just leave the one in the background, especially if you have something like grunt running, and switch back and forth between these. OK, but for now, I would like to actually see what's going on. So I will open the other files next to it. So we have style.css and style.less. We can actually move this a little bit around. Move this here. I want the less to be here. I want to see what's happening, so we just scroll to the end. Okay, we did lots of npm install. Oh, okay, there we are. And I'm changing this to red. And then we see the grunt test saw there was a file change, and actually it transpired. I mean, if you run this locally, you wouldn't be surprised, even 20 years ago. But this is running in a browser, so I think that's pretty cool. And this really allows you to be productive, and you don't really miss the tools that you may be used to locally. I have two more demos here on the node side. Just briefly, you might want to use a testing tool. Mocha is a tool that we use for our own testing. It's made by the same developers that do Express, the web framework we have. And it's easy to install, again, using npm. And while this is running, I will just grab Mocha test framework sample from their website, just to the basic Hello World starting example here. In this case, I just copy it over. So npm Mocha is installed. Hopla. Okay, so I will just create a test file here, test.js. Copy this in. So this is one syntax for Mocha, how you describe your test very nicely. Again, we are missing IntelliSense here. So by now, you know you can use TSD to install the Mocha definition file and just add it. But this is not really a problem to execute my JavaScript code. So this is really just a helper for you. Hey, you have an error, but this doesn't really mean that you have to fix it right away. So if I run Mocha, by default, it will pick up on this test.js file, and tests are passing. Let's say we want to force an error here. And what's nice now is that actually the console understands your project structure, so he knows, okay, this file exists in your workspace, so you can actually just navigate to your error and fix it right away. That is unit testing in an Azure website. What's, I think, more important for a developer, maybe before you write tests, is a way to debug your application. And luckily, this is easy to enable in Azure websites using Node Inspector. Node Inspector is the standard tool, well, I would say it's the only tool, to debug Node.js applications. And actually, Azure websites come with Node Inspector pre-installed, so it's very easy to enable it. There is a magic file you have to create top level, actually. And you basically instruct IIS node with some additional properties. And debugging enabled will basically tell IIS node, hey, allow node inspector to be served from this side, because you don't want to have debugging enabled all the time. You just want to have it enabled when the user really wants to do it. In order to use node inspector, I have to switch browsers here, because node inspector is not really running well in IE for some reason. So I will just quickly go here to a WebKit browser. The way to open node inspector is you take your public URL, not the Monaco URL in this case, and then you add your entry point to your server, which is app.js, followed by slash debug. And whoops, I have to restart the server, I guess. Let's see. Okay. And yeah, this property change needs a server restart. And then the node inspector UI shows up nicely. I'm actually here in my index route. I can add a breakpoint. And as soon as I hit the endpoint here, I will, yeah, I see the breakpoint being hit. And then it's the usual debugging experience that you know from node inspector. Objects are showing up here. And you can, you're actually able to debug your application. We would recommend that after debugging, you turn this to false again. It depends a little bit if you're editing a real website that people are using, or if it's just a dev website. And that's an interesting topic. So that's actually the next topic I will cover in a demo, how to really work with production websites versus development websites. If I go back to the slides, I think I have just one on the architecture of Monaco. So just a sec, duplicate slideshow. Yeah. So we have seen Monaco running as part of the Azure website, and how it's actually being provided as part of Azure websites is shown in this diagram on the right. So first of all, every Azure website comes with Monaco pre-installed. There's no limitation. You can always enable it. It's protected by deployment credentials, so not everyone can go and make changes to your source code. It is using the .scm endpoint. That's like the URL, how to use it, with the slash dev at the end. But what's really interesting is on the if you look at the box on the right, there is your website running, and there is something called site extensions running. So on top, you see IIS node PHP. So that's really the Azure website runtime container. It's able to run IIS node PHP. And you have a top-level URL where you can get people visiting your site. And then there is a concept called site extensions. And site extensions are things that run as a peer to your Azure website. Site extensions are providing actually Monaco as one site extension. But the first site extension that came out, and that was the reason why this concept got introduced, is for Git. So in Azure websites, you can have a Git endpoint. You can push to your website using Git, and then the website is redeployed, which is a very nice concept. So with that regard, we run as a peer to the Azure deployment services that are called Kudu. And they all operate on a www root folder. So any change you do in Monaco ends up there and is being live. Any change that comes in through a Git push will go to www root and be served live. And that has some interesting implications. So in the next demo, I would like to demonstrate a little bit how would you really do a real world example for Monaco with a website which is really facing customers. For this, I have a website. I call it Stand Up Prod, to name it like this is our production website. I can quickly run it and demo what it's doing. So it's actually a real application that we did in the Monaco team using Monaco in the cloud over 1 week to validate that our development offering is good. It's a stand-up application, so we are an agile team. We have about 9 members, and we do daily stand-ups in the morning. And we didn't really have a good app to do this, so we created this Node.js, HTML5, JavaScript application that uses Socket.io to do fancy things. And just to get a sense, like have a project, not Monaco, because Monaco is very complex, just really start fresh. So in the same way someone else would create a web application. And yeah, it does like things like it shows you the current speaker, nothing too fancy, the Bing background image of the day is showing up. So it works nicely. And this is really production. So if I mess up with this, my team will not be very happy because we have to use it daily. And people, the team likes it. So we don't want to really cause any bugs here. And what's also interesting, there is a Visual Studio Online repository in the back. So we have a Git repository where where we push to this website to have it live. So here, Git is enabled, Monaco is disabled. Because we never, ever want to do live edits on this production website because that doesn't give us a chance to really test our changes. And it might have an impact on people using this at the same time. So what we will do instead, we just create a dev website, stand-up dev, and this will be our development website to edit, to make changes to the stand-up application. And in here, we will have Monaco enabled, but we will not enable Git because the Git deployment for us here doesn't really make sense. So I do these steps again. Scroll down to Monaco. And here we go. All right. We go to the dashboard. Link should show up. Okay. Again, my deployment credentials are needed. So this development side does not yet know anything about that it is actually the development side for stand-up production. And now we enter Git. I haven't used Git before, but this is really what you want if you develop in a team. You need a way to connect through Git. And what we have is the ability to connect to Visual Studio Online, which is exactly where my stand-up project is actually hosted. It's under my Bepa0 account. I can connect. I'm being asked if I allow Visual Studio Online Monaco to talk to my Visual Studio Online repository, and I get all my repositories from Visual Studio Online right here. I have actually 2. I know which one to take, so I will take this one. And then I can actually clone the contents of the Visual Studio Online repository into my workspace here. And this login dialog, by the way, will go away in the next version. It's just temporary that we need the credentials here again. And then you see, really, this is how you would start as a team member in a real project. You would connect to a Git repository, check it out into your workspace, and the Explorer updates live here when the changes come in. So this is a larger project. I will not go into detail of all the internals. It's heavily using Node. It's using Socket.io. I'm writing a blog series about this project with several parts to it already, where I'm going into details. So the Monaco blog is a good way to read, to find out more about this. But now let's just run this out of our development Monaco. And not surprisingly, it's the same application. The difference is now I'm running it from stand-up dev Azure Websites.net. So I'm safe to do changes. I will not mess up my team here. Everything should be fine. So let's try to push a real change back to our production website to have something meaningful. And first, let's see what's happening here now that we have Git enabled. There's a new drop down here that shows me the branches. I have a new action here to sync, pull, push my changes back and forth. And for this feature, I would just like to work on a branch. So we just create a feature branch. And you will notice the console even gives me an indicator down there. So we switch to this branch. And I would like to add a new button here, a fast forward button that would actually allow me to go right at the end. And I will cheat it a little bit here and not really implement it, but you get the idea. By the way, in a larger project, you don't really always want to use the Explorer. You want to just quick open, that's how we call it. So Control E on IE or in any browser will just allow you to type the name of the file and then just navigate to it. So this is the HTML page. It actually uses Bootstrap, which is a very nice library for mobile development because we wanted to have it work properly on mobile as well. And all I'm going to do here is just duplicate this line where I add buttons and call this the fast forward button. Come on. Okay, I think this I can close. And I think the icon for this is fast forward. And then there's another file on the client where this is hooked up. The main JS somewhere down here, you have to believe me. Yep, there's jQuery being used. So we will just pretend that we have some meaningful implementation here. In this case, we alert, okay, you click the button. Now with this change, I can actually test it on my development side. I'm just running again, and the new action shows up here. Not implemented properly, but we take this as a useful action. And now there are some more interesting indicators coming up that we are connected with Git. The first thing you will notice is there's a slight a green indicator here. This is like a quick diff status. You can type, make changes, and you will quickly see we diff the file against the status on the server and actually the Git state. So very useful to find your edit locations in the file. But beyond that, we also provide you with a real diff view side by side. And this is actually the same diff control that you've seen in Visual Studio Online, TFS, if you use it. With a little difference that here I can actually make edits. So I'm not limited. I can continue typing here. I can review my changes in the JavaScript file. You have full language service support, quick outline. So this is actually a full editor. Plus, it gives you the diff. So when I'm happy with these changes, I would typically just go ahead and commit. So I call this the fast forward feature. And now it actually tells me, well, I don't really know who you are. This is some kind of limitation that might go away soon. So we don't really know your Azure identity in Monaco. So for now, we actually bail and say, please tell us who you are. And for this, the console is actually quite rich. It has this embedded experience where if you do git config minus global, you get the embedded view into the Git file. And you can make changes here. You can save. And now if I do the commit again, it should work. So we are still on our feature branch, and we haven't merged it back to master. So let me just go back to master here and actually do the merge. And here you see it's useful to have a console because you might have commands that are complex enough that we don't really want to have UI for it. So we made the change. We merged it back into master. We see an outgoing indicator. There's one change. We can push it to Visual Studio Online. So this is the repository we are connected to. But it's not really yet in our production side. So there's one step missing. We will deploy it to our production website. And for this, all we have to do is we go to our production website in Azure and copy this Git URL. This is the endpoint that this website is listening to for redeploying. And we just add this as a remote to our is it git remote add production to our repository in here. And now I can push my changes to production from within Monaco. Now I need the deployment credentials of the production website. Okay. The push is running. If I go to the portal, I see there is a deployment happening to production. I get the same sort of progress from here. All the output from Azure, there was a deployment running. And I think the deployment is done. So if I go to my production website and refresh that, the change is also in production. So that's like a typical flow, how you would actually bring a change from development into production all by using Monaco. And I have some slides to wrap up this and make it a little bit more clear how this structure is actually working in the end. So we started with a production website, and this can be any site. And Monaco is disabled, deployment from source control was enabled. So any push to this website will update it. Then we created a development site, which in the beginning didn't really know about this production website. It had Monaco enabled and deployment from source control disabled. And the first thing we did is we connected to Visual Studio Online and pulled the changes into Monaco to be able to edit them. And then, once we were done making our changes, we pushed them back to our production site because we were confident with these changes and we tested them properly. And we also pushed the changes back to our Git repository to share it with the team. There's a second way of deploying that I didn't show. You can actually also link your production website to the Visual Studio Online. And what this will mean is whenever your production website detects a Git push to your repository, it will automatically redeploy. So it's like it's a different way of having this workflow. Instead of pushing directly to production, it will be as part of the push you do to Visual Studio Online. Finally, just a quick a demo on what would it mean if you don't want to use Node.js. So what would it mean to actually use ASP with Monaco? And what's really cool if you want to play with Monaco is to create a website from Gallery. Because with all these examples, you can always enable Monaco to actually look into the contents of the workspace to find out how it's actually being built. So we'll use the ASP.NET starter site and call this Tech Days ASP in North Europe again to have it close by. This might take a little bit longer because of the ASP. Okay, it's not so bad. I might run into a limitation that I have too many websites created, but luckily for this, I have a backup. So I should have had a backup for the agenda. So this is the same thing that I can edit in Visual Studio Online. And again, I need my deployment credentials. So this is an ASP application that uses heavily CSHTML. If I run it, it's a very basic, you might have even seen it before, template. And again, I can use Monaco here. I see the output of the application again. This time it's not Node, it's actually ASP. I can make a change here. Hello from Tech Days. And if I refresh, my changes are not. Why not? Oh, I'm not on about, sorry. Yeah. So I added it about to CSHTML. So my changes are flowing live to the site. To be honest, the C# language service we have is limited in a way that it's not going beyond coloring. What we do provide is a MS build from the command line, as well as Nugget. So there is ways of compiling a solution inside Monaco. You will see errors showing up, and you can actually fix them. But for real ASP development, we would still recommend to go to Visual Studio on the desktop. But you might have some CSS, JavaScript, even TypeScript development as part of your application. And then it's very useful to be able to make quick edits using Monaco. So with that, the risky part is over. No more demos. And I have some, actually, I have some more demos, but first some slides. So I quickly wanted to wrap up the talk with one thing that we saw this morning in the keynote, but not here. So what's what is actually true is that resources of an Azure website are limited. So all the demos I did were website in free mode, which is we don't pay for it. But a free website means it has limited CPU quotas, limited memory, limited disk space. And when you use Monaco heavily, CPU intense tasks, it can happen that you get this warning. This really means you have to scale your website to another tier. And from the dashboard in Azure, you can actually change your website to shared or standard. Increasing this means you pay more, obviously, but you also get a lot more CPU power. And if you are even going to standard, it means you have a full VM for you to develop. You will notice Monaco being snappier. You will never see the out of resources message, and you can really use it for powerful things. But as I was doing NPM and all these things now, we never hit this issue. So free is good for most of the things. I still have 10 minutes, so I would like to show some tips and tricks that I didn't have a chance to show before. Maybe I go back to one of the examples we had before. So you have find and folder. So I didn't show search at all, actually. So you can do a full text search around your project. You can limit it to the files you want to search in. In this case, I want to search in routes. You get some nice highlighting, and the results show up in this tree. What else? Side by side, so I was heavily using that. Whenever you press Control, we will open a second editor to the site. You can open up to three. And then you can do crazy things and arrange stuff. You can bring in a console here. You can bring an output window here. You can do your arrangements. And then you refresh. And actually, what we do is we preserve the UI state. So don't be shy to F5 if something doesn't work anymore. And your development perspective is always being kept alive. Quick open is a lot more powerful. Oops, Control E. A lot more powerful than just searching for file names, which is the default action, so to say. It shows you history. You can actually do a lot more. You can see all commands in Monaco, even with the key bindings, which helps you to learn the key bindings if you are a power user. You can go to line in the file. You can go to symbol. So that's what you would do in a large JavaScript file. Let's see. Here you see the symbols. But you can use this go to symbol in JavaScript, TypeScript, CSS, less, in all the languages where we have a better understanding. Control hover for preview. That is something which I think with the power tools in Visual Studio Desktop you also have. So when you have an invocation of a function or any member, start to press Control, and you will actually get the full signature as part of the hover. And you can Control click to actually go to the definition. We have settings. This is a bit of a hidden feature. So in here, you can open settings. And this is, again, you can use IntelliSense quick outline here to scroll through the settings. So this is like the description of how the Workbench should run and the editor is configured, like tabs and whatever. More interesting, I guess, is that validation settings can be configured here. So we have a default set of settings, but we allow you to create your own settings, I mean, change them, and share them with your team, because we cannot really decide for you how you want your JavaScript rules to be defined. Multiple cursors, I think I was showing that. Editor commands, well, we have a context menu, and we also have a way to show you all editor commands. So there's lots of stuff in the editor that you will learn once you use it. And we really recommend you to look into this list from time to time. What else do we have? We have in-place replays. So it makes fun if I have, for instance, a value here. So control, okay, this doesn't work. This should work. Yeah, I can actually control up, down to cycle through all the different colors, which is cool. The diffing goes beyond Git. You can actually select a file for compare, compare it with style, and you can just diff random files and have the same diffing experience. Browser navigation, that's interesting. So you will notice that while you are opening files, we actually push to the browser stack, and you can use Alt, Left, Right, similar to Visual Studio, to jump between edit locations in your in the files you were editing. So very similar experience, I would say, to Visual Studio. Yeah, I think that's it, wrapping it up. Going back to some more resources. So we have a Channel 9 series with some more in detail tutorials, how to set up for Node and debugging and things I was showing. The Monaco blog with a series of the stand-up app where I go into detail. If you have an Azure account, we encourage you to add it in Visual Studio Online for your dev sites. You can use Git. By the way, you can connect to any Git repository. It's not limited to Visual Studio Online, right? Just any Git repository will work. And then you can actually have a similar development workflow as I was just showing. And if you have some feedback within the app, you can actually provide feedback. If you're interested in TypeScript, I have another talk tomorrow where I don't need internet, so it should work. It's about TypeScript. And there I really go in depth, what does it mean to use TypeScript for your project. So I'm really sorry for the problem in the beginning. I'm glad it worked out in the end. And thank you for being patient. We still have, I think, 5 minutes left. So we have Eric here as well. So if you have questions that I cannot answer, he can answer everything. Otherwise, yeah. Do we have any questions? Yeah. Why is the code? Why is it called Monaco? Well, there is this rule, I think, that you should be very careful with how you call products because of trademark laws and all these things. So taking city names or countries is a safer way. Although we got an email from Monaco. How is she called? Yeah, exactly. Yeah? Go to definition? We can do that as well. So we are actually trying to have a very similar experience in terms of the. Oh, I'm not sharing. Sorry. Let me start this sharing. We are trying to have a very similar experience in terms of Visual Studio Desktop and Monaco, at least for these features, so that you have. That you're not feeling very unfamiliar. So if you do control click here, you can actually jump to the definition. In this case, it's in the same file. And you have, in the context menu, you will see what you can do. So peak definition is actually a feature which is available in Visual Studio Desktop. And it's actually available here. And it looks the same, more or less. So we are not trying. I think we were even the first to have this UI, and then they went for it. So yeah, you can do it, provided that you have a rich language, like like a language that we support richly, like JavaScript, TypeScript, or less. Yeah. Yes. Yeah. So we have the idea to maybe leverage Roslyn for this because it's actually it could help us a lot to build the language service in a rich way. It's on our backlog, and what's actually interesting is that we love to work with Monaco and we use it for Monaco, but everything we do in C Sharp we do in Visual Studio Desktop, and so we would love to be able to use Monaco for C Sharp. So I think it's on our plan, and we also understand that this is like the main language for Microsoft professionals. So it's definitely on the horizon. Yeah, not sure. It's a tough problem. We don't want to bring all of Roslyn into the browser, but we somehow have to make it work in a nice way. Yeah. Yes. Right. There is through. Let's see. There is a way to connect through the Git endpoint if you want to. I think that's the story how the Git endpoint came into the Azure website. So you could actually enable Monaco and Git at the same time, which has some interesting implications, to clone your workspace into Visual Studio down. And then you just have to keep in mind anything you push back to your website will also mean that the changes is inside Monaco. So you have two competing places to edit. What I would probably do in that case is connect the website to a real Git repository and talk through this repository in all means. So that's probably how I would set it up. Yeah. Any more questions? Yeah. The question was if there's a plan to support TFS. The history is we had some TFS support in the early beginnings, actually, before Git was supported on TFS. But it was not really a nice way of using the API because we had to execute some commands on the command line. That's why we went for Git. And we really hope that more people are using Git, even in TFS. But it's also, again, like C Sharp on the backlog to support it. But I would say our team works in a way that we push for those things that we really also need for self-hosting. So since we use Git also for the project, I would think that it's not the highest priority right now. But Ari can correct me if it's wrong. It's on the backlog. Cool. Okay, any more questions? Okay, then. Thank you.